Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Florida teachers' average pay ranks 46th among the states, and that's according to the National Education Association's annual ranking. School counselors' pay in Florida ranks 49th, according to ZipRecruiter, which means making ends meet is a challenge. Enter the side hustle. It's a way to make money on the side using the expertise and skills that a school counselor or educator already has in abundance. For teachers eyeing the long, hot summer ahead, wondering what to do with that time, there's a guidebook to make that time off profitable. It's called School Counselor Side Hustle, and it's written by FGCU graduate professor Dr. Russell Sabella. Dr. Sabella, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
As always, we welcome your calls and comments with questions. Do you work a side hustle? How do you do it? If you have a question for Dr. Sabella, give us a call. The number is 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. Dr. Sabella, what made you think of a side hustle for school counselors in particular?
Well, this was a need that really came to me. It was, at first, an email or a phone call about once a month from a counselor or a teacher, knowing that I have had some successful side hustles in the past, really asking for advice. And at the point at which I was getting one or two of those emails every week, I realized that there was something here and that there's a way for me to help.
There's an audience for it. There are people that are thirsty for this information, and you had it.
Yep.
Right? So is this something that educators could get in on too?
It really is. You know, we started out really focusing on school counselors. We highlighted about a dozen school counselors who have been very successful with various aspects of a side hustle. We noticed on different Facebook groups that there are dozens and dozens, if not hundreds, of school counselors discussing their side hustles. And then as we started writing the book, what we realized is that what we were focusing on, especially the how-tos, were really applicable to all educators.
You know, it's really interesting because it's like teaching entrepreneurship to people who might not have ever considered that as part of their career plan. What do educators or school counselors really need to know first about a side hustle?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think there are three things. The first thing is, what are your strengths? What are you good at? And what are you really good at? In other words, when it is that you're able to provide a benefit or a service or a product, that partly stands out because it's high quality, because it's so good. So whether you're public speaking or you're developing a resource or a tool, that product or service really is of high quality.
Well, honestly, school counselors serve a lot of roles, and so do educators. They do a lot of things. They stand in front of a group of people and they talk. They put together lesson plans. They evaluate students. I mean, there's a lot of skill to pick from. So I guess this may be an opportunity for an educator or a school counselor to pick the skill that they enjoy the most and make some extra money off of it.
Exactly. That's right. And, you know, what people don't realize is that all educators, or at least virtually all of them, really have four-year degrees. Many or most have graduate degrees. In fact, with school counselors, the master's degree is the entry-level degree, and the program is no less than 50 credits, graduate school, as well as about 700 hours of internship. And so we're talking about some very highly skilled people who have a lot to offer.
So the book touts plotting a style, encouraging the person considering a side hustle to evaluate their skill set and what can be monetized. And you call it a SWOT analysis. Can you describe that for me?
Yeah. So the SWOT analysis, S-W-O-T, is a kind of a common experience with whether you're in business or education. I teach it to my students as part of getting ready for job interviews. SWOT, S stands for strengths, W for weaknesses, and those are the internal things that we focus on. So what is it about you that you would consider your strengths and weaknesses? And then the OT part is really external, the opportunities and threats. And so in the book, we start to take people through an exercise to help them start determining where they should perhaps spend their time and a little bit of money for developing a particular side hustle based really on their strengths and opportunities.
Do employers ever push back against an employee having a side hustle?
You know, I've never really heard of an employer doing that. I can understand the concern, you know, could this take away this person's time and focus from their regular hustle, their day job? And that might be a legitimate concern, which is why in the book we help our readers know that a couple things. One is that they have to become very good time managers, that they can't not let their side hustles interfere with their performance and productivity during the day. Mm-hmm. But the other thing is that what we realize is, as we've interviewed all of these people, that oftentimes having a side hustle has the effect of making your time more valuable and forces you to become a better time manager. And then here's the third thing. There's a lot of overlap. And so the counselors that we talk to who spent the time developing side hustles found that the products that they developed helped them be more effective in their regular hustles, their day jobs.
Oh, yeah, because if you're focusing on the thing that you like the most out of your day job, maybe you can even elevate that part.
Exactly. And by the way, it works both ways. So we've got counselors and educators who, as part of their day jobs, have developed things, tools, resources, lesson plans, webinars, et cetera, who then they can provide to other people outside of their classroom, outside of their school districts. And because it's above board and we make sure that they understand that it's we go a lot into the conflict of interest and dual role and the ethical aspect of all this. But once it's all above board, then providing those kinds of things to people throughout the world at a small price can really help everybody win.
And I'm wondering, as counselors and educators work with kids every day, is it possible for them to work with a kid that they already work with in their regular job in their side hustle? For example, if there's a kid that needs additional counseling or tutoring, is that something that's advisable or not?
Right. That's a great question. And that really falls under the ethical conflict of interest, dual role aspect of this. And generally, the answer is no. And so we make a big deal out of setting boundaries and making sure that we're not double dipping, or that we're not creating opportunities by taking advantage. And so our side hustlers in general have been very cognizant of that and very good at separating. So, for example, my practice here in Southwest Florida for 20 years has very simply been that if you live in our 5-county service area, even if I would charge you a bunch of money doing this somewhere else, you get it here for free. It just makes it real simple, clear, and helps me sleep at night.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting. I remember when I was in high school, that was when I realized how little teachers do get paid, because I went to my summer job and my English teacher was working at the same amusement park that I was working at. And it was kind of – I felt really sad about that. And we had a caller call in, Ryan in Cape Coral. He had a rough cell phone connection, but he was able to convey to our producer that he says it's a huge shame that educators in Florida – need a side hustle, but he totally supports the book and the idea of a side hustle like this. And I think that keeping in in the profession that you've chosen for a side hustle, rather than doing something, you know, like working next to your high school students at an amusement park like my English teacher did, I mean, that can't – it has to be a little bit – it must feel better to be able to do something within your profession during your time off.
Exactly. And, you know, Ryan is right. Part of this kind of is disappointing that we even have to address it. It would be nice if educators and school counselors were paid much more than they are worth, closer to the value that they bring to people's lives. But that's not the case. And until it is, we need options. So instead of struggling month to month, paycheck to paycheck, let's do a side hustle. And like you said, instead of driving a car or, you know,
being an Uber or waiting tables.
Yeah. And those are great jobs. Those are all legitimate, great jobs for a lot of people. But what we know is that the school counselor skill set, the knowledge base, is also very valuable. And so what we've been really helping counselors with is doing more of what they already are doing, what they love to do, while making that extra income.
Also, waiting tables over the summer in this part of the world is not the most lucrative thing. In the summertime, it's the off season, so that doesn't work out too well either.
Right.
So what kind of things? Can you tick off some of the things that a teacher or a counselor could do on the side during these summer or off hours?
Absolutely. Yeah, we found some general themes throughout our interviews. First, for example, is teaching. Our counselors or teachers are doing classroom lessons, developing the curricula, the lesson plans, the learning activities. And for counselors, areas that cover social-emotional learning are at a premium for all of us, including adults.
So they would create like a lesson plan or a social-emotional learning program and then sell that?
That's right. And they can do it live or online. And so for some counselors, it's professional development. They go out and they do public speaking, or they develop blogs. They monetize blogs. For some, they do paid webinars. And so some of that you have to be live for. But here's the exciting part. A lot of our side hustles among school counselors are not face-to-face. And so they're developing passive revenue streams, making money while they sleep.
By selling things online. Stuff like that. Yep. When I think of a job that would be mentally exhausting, I think that the job of a high school or middle school counselor might be possibly the most mentally or emotionally exhausting thing in the world, especially this time of year when everybody's just had it. Would it be hard to maintain a work-life balance adding on to a full-time load?
The answer is yes. The answer is if you're going to do a side hustle, you're going to have to hone in on your time management, stress management skills, also self-care, which we actually talk about in the book. But here's the interesting thing. It's a little bit paradoxical, but what we found is that for people who are doing side hustles, they are starting to realize just how much extra time they had before they did the side hustle. And when it is that their time becomes more valuable, they make more careful decisions about what becomes a priority. And so it actually gets easier as you go because of that reason. And here's the other thing. Speaking of exhaustion, we are starting to see that the school counselor or educator side hustle in some ways can be very therapeutic. The people that we talk to are, because they're doing more of what they love, they're serving more people outside of even just their schools or school districts. They are happier. They are also feeling much more confident and courageous because they've become more entrepreneurial, built something, and are reaping the benefits of that.
I think it's really interesting how you say that it can make people feel a little bit better even though they are already working so hard. But maybe it's because if they're doing their own thing, kind of like an entrepreneur, they're focusing on the thing they like.
Exactly.
And being able to really, without the constraints of all the other daily work that you have to do.
Absolutely. So, being your own boss, really creating your own focus, and really engaging in the creative process, whether that's developing school counselor swag or a new public speaking event or even something perhaps not even so counseling related, a piece of art on Etsy or something else.
Yeah, art teachers, right?
Art teachers, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I like that the book lays out the minutia too, the importance of keeping a solid calendar, how to promote through social media, things like that. I mean, these are areas where a school counselor might not have ever even had to navigate before.
Right, yeah. I was really looking at the book one more time and really started seeing that a good portion of the book, I think, is about inspiration. We've got some great examples of social workers and school counselors and a teacher here and there who are successfully side hustling. But the book is also about getting you ready for the perspiration part, the sweat equity. And what we wanted to do is make sure that we had a good chunk of it focusing on the little details, the how-tos, everything from developing a contract to getting paid to using social networks to promote and increase awareness for your product or service.
Invoicing and getting paid is the most not – well, getting paid is nice, but chasing the check, we all know, is never fun.
You're right.
I'm talking with Dr. Russell Sabella, who is a professor at FGCU and also the author of a new book called School Counselor Side Hustle. We're talking about the need for educators and school counselors to work side jobs to supplement some of the country's worst salaries in their given professions. If you're a teacher or a school counselor, you're probably in class right now or on a late lunch break, but we do want to know what you have planned for this summer. Are you going to be working a side hustle? Will you take an odd job or just relax? When this re-airs tonight at 9, or if you're listening to this as a podcast, drop us a line on social media. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. Also, if you're an educator who can chime in right now, give us a call. The number is 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Dr. Sabella, things have changed a lot, in recent years. Spikes in suicide, which are alarming just in the last couple of years. Gun violence, social media pressures, so much. There's a big call for mental health care initiatives for school children.
Correct.
And I'm wondering if anything's changed in the way that school counselors are trained or compensated.
Ah, good question. Well, like a lot of educators, school counselors these days seemingly are expected to do more and more. There is an increase in the focus on trauma-informed care, on dealing with mental health issues at an earlier age, such as stress and anxiety. And yet at the same time, pay is the same.
Doesn't move.
And so, you know, and we see that. We see that teachers and counselors kind of had enough and they're ready to speak up. So hence all of the different teacher protests in various states throughout the country.
What is the current ratio of school counselor to students in the U.S.?
You know, that's one of the issues. Right now, the average is about one school counselor to 450 students. And that's about the average that we see here in Southwest Florida. And yet we have parents and others who are kind of shouting, saying we need more school counseling services. We need better college and career advisement. But yet, you know, when you have 450 kids to take care of, that is quite a challenge to be preventative, to deliver curriculum, to work with all kids.
I just cannot even imagine. Quite a challenge is probably the understatement of the hour for sure. Mm-hmm. And are school counselors feeling pressure to get things right, though, for kids with mental health issues to prevent a tragedy?
Absolutely. And, you know, that's kind of the irony when it is that we see school shootings and other tragedies. You know, we ring the alarm and we bring in mental health counselors, and we need mental health counselors. We need people to respond to crises. However, what we also know, too, is that if we had more school counselors who do focus more on prevention and development, giving kids the tools they need to properly handle some of the challenges in their lives, we think that we would not be seeing so much of the different tragedies that we're seeing.
After hearing what you're saying about one counselor for 450-some kids per, I mean, the average ratio, I got to say, I'm probably never going to complain about not having enough time in the day to get everything I want done.
Right. And also know, too, that we still have some schools with zero school counselor. And by the way, that's an average. So many of our elementary schools have only one counselor, which means they have a 1 to about 800 ratio.
Exactly, because they don't think it's necessary when the kids are younger. Your book tells some stories of successful side hustles. Could you tell me about one or two of those?
Sure, absolutely. We've got some folks who are literally making five figures with a combination of side hustles. They're authoring books. They're developing tools. They're going out and doing public speaking engagements, all while perhaps teaching a class at their local community college or university.
Wow. Five figures. I mean, are we in the upper five there? Starting with a one?
Here's what's interesting. Right now, about what we know is through the research is that about half of educators are actually doing side hustles, but the majority of them are doing it within their schools, after school programs, some tutoring, and they're making on average about $4,000 extra a year. The side hustlers we interviewed are making closer on average to about $8,000, $10,000. We even have some who are making $30,000, $40,000, and $50,000 extra dollars a year.
How much time is necessary to achieve that? I mean, how much extra time are we talking in a given 40-hour week?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that. You know, and it really depends on what you're up for. So if you want to put in an extra 2 or 5 hours, we've got some side hustlers who are, you know, late owls. They're actually, for example, tutoring Chinese students in English because of the time change. You know, they're up at night anyway doing, and so now they're making 25,
instead 30. Of looking at the Twitter feed.
Right. Instead of looking at networks or watching movies, they're making $25 an hour at night just doing some tutoring in a different area of the world. But you could literally put in as many as you want. So it's really what you can put in. And I think you get better and you get more efficient at it as you go. So in your first year of side hustling, you may only be able to put in 3 or 5 hours a week. And then you start to build and you may put in just a few more after that. And here's what's also interesting. We've got some side hustlers who at one point became so successful, they started hiring virtual assistants and staff to help them out.
Outsourcing,
exactly.
Yeah,
we cover that in the book quite a bit. You know, in fact, I hired side hustlers to help me with the book. I hired copy editors. I hired a graphic designer to do the cover. And so we've got side hustlers providing benefits and services for other side hustlers.
What kind of legal things do people have to consider before, say, you know, setting up a private counseling practice or tutoring?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, we always want to make sure we're doing what's ethical and legal. And so I advocate for hiring accountants for the tax benefits. I also, anything where you work, as if there's a policy. So, for example, here at FGCU every year, I sign a conflict of interest form, making sure they understand that I do a little bit of work out on the side and that it doesn't conflict. When you need to hire an attorney, perhaps for a trademark or something else, for any business, really, is always a good idea.
Tell me about one of the programs or lesson plans or ideas that one of the hustlers that you talked with came up with that has been successful for them.
Sure. Yeah. I've got one side hustler. Her name is Carol, and she's written books. She's public speaks. She is a public speaker, I should say. And she's also on Teachers Pay Teachers. And so you can see how all three are about her developing very engaging lesson plans. So she's out there sharing those with other teachers. She also does some public speaking based on the research that she's done in order to develop that. And every now and again, she'll put it all together in a book, which also sells pretty well.
Just put it all, just cut and paste, make a big, long book.
Yeah.
What kind of application could something like this have for maybe a retiree?
Oh, gosh. You know, it's funny you said that because I don't think my co-author, Stephanie Lerner, and I were thinking about that early on. We were thinking about working and practicing school counselors, especially those with families. Who really had an opportunity to save for college for their kids or get out of debt or, you know, maybe have a nice steak dinner every now and again. But then we started we found some people who were retired and saying, hey, here's what I'm doing as part of my kind of side hustle, retired side hustle. Mm-hmm. And we started to realize that that was a group that wants to stay active. They want to keep doing what it is they love to do. They miss it when they're not doing it as retired people. And so why not do a little bit of it and have a little extra money to travel or do whatever you like, garden.
And I feel like there really is a need for these folks to side hustle, not just retirees, but active teachers and school counselors, because we talk a lot about how healthcare is not very readily available for kids in our area.
Right. And you make a really good point. So with a side hustle, everybody wins. So for example, if there's a school counselor who on the side does some extra tutoring or coaching or college career advisement where that may not be available, perhaps in the summer or just not available, period, kids and families win as well.
Yeah, a lot of parents I know going into the summer are worried about summer brain drain is what they call it.
Right.
When the kids get that vacation. But just a little bit of tutoring, a little bit of urging them in an educational way, it doesn't hurt and doesn't impinge too terribly much, I guess, on
Absolutely.
Their relaxation time.
Yeah. In fact, just yesterday I was looking at some of the Facebook groups for school counselors talking about how some of them are getting together and doing some social emotional camps this summer.
Oh, camps for kids.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, yeah. And that's going to be their side hustle.
All right. Now I need to know where that's happening. So where can people get a hold of this book?
It's on Amazon. So if you want to just go to Amazon and search for School Counselor Side Hustle, or just go to my website, schoolcounselor.com.
Schoolcounselor.com. All right. Great. Well, that's about all the time we have for today's show. Do you have any final thoughts you want to share with us?
No, I just want to say that it's just really something that people who do it end up really enjoying. And so have fun with it. Don't make it a stressful thing for you. Enjoy the freedom that comes with the little extra money on the side.
Yeah. And if that freedom could be the next great thing in education, you never know.
Exactly.
Right. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Russell Sabella. And the book is School Counselor Side Hustle, right? Available on Amazon and at your website. We want to also thank our earlier guest during our segment about the new highway expansion bill signed by Governor Ron DeSantis last Friday, Frank Jacalone from the Sierra Club. If you missed any of today's show and would like to catch up, you can always hear full episodes on our website, gulfcoastlive.org, or you can subscribe to our podcast feed wherever you get your podcasts. Our show today was produced by Mike Canary and myself. Our director is Richard Chin Kui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers, 90.1, WMKO Marco Island, 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.